need your help. Your generosity will allow us to continue to provide critical food and support for homebound seniors, veterans, working family, and children. If you or someone you know needs food assistance or to support our work on Long Island, call 631-873-4775 or visit islandharvest.org.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's exactly 6 o'clock. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hey.
You know, I feel like we're doing these remote shows, and we're actually more together than we are in the studio. You know, if we're starting the show, we don't have to prepare all this paperwork and get things organized. We're ready to go. Ready to go.
Yeah, I feel like we're making improvements left and right, and yeah, something about that that's very comfortable.
Well, we sound better, too. You did something to make us sound better this week than last, with the music especially.
I did. Yeah, we improved our, we changed our encoding scheme.
Uh-huh.
So we're using
a new codec. It's a new codec, folks.
New compression, yeah.
Do you like our codec? If you like our codec, write to us, otw@2600.com, and tell us specifically what you like about the codec.
And this is, in fact, like a more modern one. Mm-hmm. So the previous one was from way back, and it was all about basically getting decent fidelity out of a phone line, 64 kilobits. Well, this is the same 64 kilobits, but with a modern high-efficiency algorithm.
We're going over a phone line. That's how we're doing this. We're going over. We're getting this kind of sound quality over a phone line.
That's the same like frame rate, I guess you would say, or the same same bandwidth. Well, yeah, it could be. It could be over that kind of connection. Even though we have a much faster connection with broadband and all that, it could run on something that slow and sound potentially as good, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Wait a minute. You mean we're running over a cell phone? This kind of quality is going through a cell phone?
It's so complicated. Well, it sort of is, but it's not. But it could be. Does that clear it up for you?
It could be?
Yeah, it
really?
Could be, but it's not. And yes and no.
I love technology.
But maybe.
I thought the satellite truck out front was it just got mired in the mud. That's
I don't know
why
who
it's
that is. No, I don't recognize that. But they're, I'm sure they're doing a great job broadcasting as well.
That's actually a callback to a story where a satellite truck came out to do an interview. This was years ago, and it got stuck in the mud. CBS, and it was a lot of fun. I think they were there for several hours. They weren't happy. Anyway,
we're still mono though.
Are we still mono?
Yeah, we're gonna stay in mono for a little while.
Okay, all right. Well, one thing at a time, you know?
Yeah, I improved my microphone. Does anybody notice that?
No, last week we were AM, and so that's a big step.
Yeah, no, but leaps and bounds, or at least small.
But have you listened to the radio station? The things that we're pulling off are simply incredible. All kinds of really relevant programming, people basically giving updates and engaging with the listeners and continuing to do awesome radio, whether it's from their bedrooms or pre-recorded, or live, like we're doing right now.
Yeah, it turns out mass communication is really, really well-suited for remote and other kinds of production. You just sort of... change the way you produce. And I mean, it's like traveling by bicycle versus car. You know, you give yourself a little more time, you pack different things, but essentially you still make the trip.
Yeah, and that's what we try to do every week, is make that trip. Because we know a lot of people are aching to make a trip right now.
Yeah, but I would say there is a lot of disinformation and misinformation, even on our airwaves. So,
well, it happens.
Be aware that people are really stressed out right now, and everyone's in the throes of trying to make sense of what's going on in the world.
Well, you know, when you have a stressful situation, all kinds of emotions and misinformation are going to leak out as well. The important thing that we can do is try and remain as logical and as rational as we possibly can. I say that not only as someone broadcasting, but also as somebody listening.
And that, we do our best, and I know there's people that are really, they're well-meaning, and everyone holding it together as much as they can, and all that, I appreciate fully, but I do feel, I'm not even talking about clickbait or bots on social media. I mean, there's all kinds of
no bots on our radio.
People, the barrage. I mean, let's just be real about social media. There are so many ads. You think fondly of things like Instagram as like, oh, that's where I'm going to go to see people I want to see, but you don't realize like half of it is all ads, and the ads are really stupid.
I hate ads so much.
And people that actually post on these platforms, it's sort of unavoidable. I mean, it's rare that they're posting about something that isn't itself some sort of promotion. And the stuff that's sponsored on these platforms is like really not helpful in some cases. And clickbait, it goes for all of it. Like I said, there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of disinformation, and that's not even and that's combining with a lot of hysteria. So I think our object is not to participate in that. We are talking about the facts, talking about what is important right now, and I'm just astonished because, you know, here come the bots. You know, it's amazing, and people just lose their minds over this.
Like I said, we have no bots on this radio station. They try to get on the air, but we don't let them. But you can't say the same thing about what's on the internet. And, I'm not on Instagram. We're not allowed to be on Instagram, actually, because they don't like our name, 2600. They say you can't have a name with all numbers, even though there are accounts that are all numbers, so they're lying to us. And, well, I don't want to get into this. It's more a subject for the other show, which isn't on tomorrow, by the way, because of Earth Day. Thanks a lot, Mother Nature. But, basically, people say, change your name. Just change your name. Spell out 2600. But that's not our name. You wouldn't tell Time Magazine you got to change your name to Clock Magazine or something because you can't use the word time for no reason at all. No, it's our name. We're going to use our name. We use it on Twitter. Why wouldn't we use it on Instagram? So, again, we have all these little battles with all these social media companies, and I don't know why. I don't understand the reason behind it, other than it's a power trip for them. They get to say, oh, you're relevant, so we're going to verify your account. But not you, because you're not relevant, or we don't like you, or somebody has a feud.
It's highly selective curation.
It's based on nothing. On absolutely nothing.
Well, I've been watching it, and it's a lot of where a lot of culture, a lot of virtual things are going on. And virtual is becoming the theme, as we've been talking about remotes, but it's everywhere. And so I just have to remind myself, like, these things are mostly ads. It's not that fun.
Well, it's all about advertising. You realize that?
Yeah.
So all these things exist just to sell ads. The only, you might think Google is a service. It's just there to sell ads. Facebook, just there for ads. It's all about ads. You know what? We're not about ads. WUSB is not about ads. We don't get ads. We don't have ads. We can't air ads even if we wanted to. It's illegal because we're below 92 on the FM dial. That's how non-commercial radio works. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that exists, because if we had advertisements, can you imagine? We'd have to break for something from Verizon maybe, or Microsoft, or McDonald's. I can't even think of it. It's horrible, the very concept. So thank God for the little things. All right. I didn't think we were going to be complaining about social media. I thought we were going to complain about something else.
Yeah, I was upset. I was feeling like, you know, it's a lot of craziness that's getting mixed in because so many people have their eyes on these things.
Well, you're not as upset as I am.
Oh, you have stuff. Okay.
I'm more upset.
You're more upset. Okay. I just want to kick things off with the first thing that I was thinking.
Look to my left. Do you see that? It's me again. I'm beside myself. I am beside myself with rage and anger.
You pointed right, though.
Yeah.
It is my left, but go ahead.
I'm trying to be considerate. Look, we are all living under stressful conditions. I know that. We all know that. We're getting through this together, and what we've been saying throughout the weeks that we've been basically holed up in our homes and not able to do the things we want to be doing, the thing that we keep coming back to is that we're all in this together. We are going to take care of each other. We are going to experience this and learn from this. All right? That is the common thread. And it transcends borders and nationalities and all kinds of individual characteristics. We are all in this together. And that is something that I've taken great comfort in both saying and hearing. But lately, and by lately I mean over the past week or two, there are people who don't seem to want to accept that. There are people who have taken it upon themselves, and sometimes people in power, which makes it really unforgivable, who seem to think that they can just override all of this and turn it into a political issue. And, wow, I mean, I was... In my worst nightmares, I thought maybe that could happen somehow, but I didn't see it coming.
And I would point out this is really definitely a sort of extent of where I was going, because the things that people are buying into are conjured up on these platforms that it's really disappointing. People you would think are smarter even are buying into conspiracies, are buying into... These liberating things, if I think this is what you're talking about, the sort of anti shutdown protesting, is that
Look, I am anti shutdown. I'm not in favor of shutting down. Do you think I'm enjoying this? I mean, it's fun. It's great. You know, we have a radio studio here in a remote location. It's awesome. But I want to be outside. I want to be hanging out with people. I don't want to see the magazine go out of business. I don't want to see all kinds of bad things happen, but I also don't want to see millions of people die when they didn't have to, and that is exactly what happens if you don't follow the advice of people who know what they're talking about. And those people who know what they're talking about, they're not the political leaders, they're not the business leaders, they're not people like you and me. They're people who devote their lives to science, to studying things like this. So I'm damn certain I'm going to listen to what they have to say. They're not political people. They're not Democrats and Republicans. They're scientists. They're doctors. They're people putting their lives on the line every single day, whether it's treating people or just spending a lot of time doing research. They are working their asses off. And to see these idiots, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to call people idiots, but they really have earned the title, to see these idiots out there in the streets, standing next to each other, even coming up against some of these ER doctors and medical people who are telling them, please don't do this. To see that happening, it's just, I as you can see, at a loss for words. They are being strengthened, motivated by our president. There is no doubt about that. He has said things to encourage them. His job is to keep us safe, and he is not fulfilling that job by doing things like that. I wasn't saying anti-Trump things at the beginning of this crisis. I had no reason to, because that's not what this was about. It never was about that. But when somebody goes out of their way to say things that are ignorant and go against the advice of the scientific community, that, to me, is a complete betrayal and something that needs to be acted upon. You can't let somebody get away with this because it literally is killing people. We have over 40,000 people dead now in this country. All right? they did not have to die. I mean, it was inevitable a certain amount would from a pandemic like this, but had we been better prepared and we had time to get prepared, which we did not use, that number would have been so much less. And that number is going to get so much higher because of what we're seeing right now. And there's no avoiding that. I would love to be wrong. I would love to have it just end tomorrow. But that's not going to happen because that's not how it works. It's got nothing to do with who you voted for. It's got nothing to do with what you believe in politically or religion or any of that. It's pure science. If you don't believe in science, there's not much we can say, but the rest of the world has to believe in science. That is how we cure diseases. That is how we stay alive. And that is how we learn from experiences like this. So to see these morons, yes, morons too, morons and idiots out there in state capitals waving their damn flags, somehow turning this into a Republican versus Democrat issue. I never thought it could get this bad. I know there's conspiracy theories everywhere. I know that no matter what Trump does, he gets away with. But to somehow say this is a political issue, to somehow say, wow, Democrats want you to stay in your home and want the economy to fall apart. Do you really believe that? You really believe that's part of the game plan for Democrats? And somehow they've roped the whole world into it as well? All those other people in all the other continents in the world who are doing the same thing that Democrats and scientists are encouraging people to do? You think that's all part of this grand conspiracy? Take a good look at yourself. What in God's name are you doing? This is insane. And you're going to pay for it with your lives, with the lives of those around you. And ordinarily, you know, I would say, all right, you're this stupid? Go ahead. Go ahead and live it up until you can't live it up anymore, which will be about a couple of weeks. But you're going to take a lot of innocent people with you by your ignorance, and you're also going to waste the time of the people who have dedicated their lives to helping us, people in the medical community, people in the hospitals.
I think the conspiracy theories and stuff do a lot to weaken, and that weaken the argument for the actual science, and that's an important factor, but also just tearing apart some of the officials. And I mean, I think, yeah, cheering on people protesting is sort of the extent of where we've ended up with it. But I don't think Trump's really been on board with experts and science from the beginning. He's been promoting unfounded treatments basically lying a lot of the way at every turn and really just, you know, downplayed as much while standing right next to some of the experts. And it is too really disappointing to see people that I thought were a lot smarter, that I respected, that they're perpetuating a lot of these things, moving them around, and that then gets people riled up and acting as though they know better or they are being told the wrong thing from health experts that really, really aren't in this for profit. I mean, somehow Trump and his cynicism and you know, skepticism about officials and being for profit in a lot of ways and only himself is breeding more of that same selfishness from these actors, people going out buying into the fact that they're being oppressed in some way when in fact they're being cared for in a lot of ways and thinking that they have the ability to face this thing and that they're not actually going to play a part in hurting others. Again, it's selfishness and not being able to continue what has so far been somewhat successful if we look at some of the initial data. This is not the time to have a disintegration of the how cooperative people have been.
But that's exactly the point that you just touched upon. It has been successful. We have done so well with this incredible sacrifice that we all have been engaged in. The reason why things have leveled off in New York is because of the social distancing and staying inside and stopping everything else. If you don't do that, then you have a situation like we saw in Italy, like we saw in Spain, and that we could see again. We're starting to see it again in Japan because they were too hasty. And I'm seeing reports now that states like Georgia are going to really be jumping the gun and opening up this week. Even Trump's own advice was to wait a couple of weeks.
I don't even understand it, because isn't that where the CDC's main lab is, like in Atlanta?
Yeah, if only they had the power to enforce these things.
I just find a certain irony in that.
Yeah. So, okay, this is what's happening in Georgia, and that's only one of the states. Democratic leaders are denouncing Governor Brian Kemp's plans to begin reopening the state's economy before the end of this week.
Friday, I think.
Claiming they were not adequately informed of his decision, predicting it would endanger public health. That's a good bet. You know, if Lawyers of London wants to take that one on, yeah, you will win, because it is endangering health. Absolutely. And Brian Kemp, you remember, he's the guy who ran against Stacey Abrams for the governorship of Georgia, and he also was the guy running the election and didn't see anything that was a possible conflict of interest with that. Wow, these elections, this was a TV show, I would not believe it.
Yeah, a cheat. He cheated.
Well, I mean, just the impression that he could have cheated and gotten away with it easily. I'm not going to say he cheated, but if you're running the election and you're running in the election... Come on, this doesn't look good.
This is a serious conflict.
You're making it too easy for us.
Yeah, okay, maybe it's alleged cheating.
Give it to somebody neutral, and then at least you can say, okay, you lost, and we'll never know now. Anyway, so he's governor, and this is one of his great ideas, is to reopen the economy by the end of this week. Now, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms said, I have a great working relationship with our governor, but I did not speak with him before he made this announcement. Yeah, she was blindsided by the announcement. She said she contacted Augusta Mayor Hardy Davis, who leads the state's second-largest city, and he also had not conferred with Kemp about this latest directive. I've spoken with several leaders across the state, so we really are at a loss. I'm concerned as a mother and as the mayor of our capital city. I'm perplexed that we have opened up in this way. And again, I can't stress enough, I work very well with our governor, and I look forward to having a better understanding of what his reasoning is. But as I look at the data, and as I talk with our public health officials, I don't see that it's based on anything that's logical. Now, what she said, she looked at the data, she talked with public health officials.
Yeah, like,
none of that is political. That's science. Science is not the enemy.
Yeah, and do not be confused. Their public health officials probably have pretty good data. As I said, the CDC is based in Atlanta. They're probably not short on data, from all kinds of data, from all kinds of places and sources. And I mean, that is the stuff we should be using as a rubric for measuring this stuff. And the disconnect and the lack of communication with various officials and coordination from a state and regional effort, it can't operate that way. That is, I don't know, they're already talking about opening up regionally around here, and I think there's not enough emphasis in a place like Georgia for the things they're going to have to continue to do. It's all about, let's be gung-ho and run into this. And I think they need to emphasize a lot more of how essential various things are and how much of the distancing and barriers and protective equipment the citizenry is going to be expected to adopt in light of that. It seems like an afterthought.
Have you seen the pictures, though, of the rallies and the people on the beach?
They're not even doing
that.
They're
not wearing protective equipment. They're not staying 6 feet apart from each other. They couldn't care less. Until it really starts to bite them in the ass.
Yeah, unless they really know someone. And I mean, it's a bad situation if you know someone who comes down with this, or someone that, God forbid, dies from this.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the rubric, if that's where you're going to start to maybe rethink whatever theory your relatives told you, or some ad on a social media platform, or a post that your friend sent you, unless it is... cue that you're going to, or something you're going to weigh with less weight than from an expert or an official or someone that is interested in public health, it's going to take that, I guess, unless you really don't care about your friends and family, and at which point you're going to say, well, that's some other conspiracy that explains it. If you explain everything with conspiracies, there's no helping you. I can't do it. And if you want to go out and assemble with other flag wavers out there, you're putting everyone else at risk, too. And that's not fair.
It didn't have to go this way, because the flag wavers could easily have been the people supporting us standing together and making these sacrifices and making ourselves stronger in the end. Instead, they followed Trump's lead.
They're being driven by by Trump, but also by the kind of media and posts and other rallying efforts. You know, it's not coincidental. This serves the current administration, and they have not been for what we really need. They've come dragging and kicking and screaming, dragged along by the experts all this time.
They're
looking for fissures to open up because it's hitting home. It's hitting their pocketbooks and their outlook. We are looking at the tides going out for the economic impact. This is a tidal wave that's going to hit. This is the calm before that tidal wave hits. And they're not even taking the appropriate measures they need to now.
They are only looking at how this affects them politically and how it affects them economically. They're not looking at doing the right thing. And that's why you're seeing these bad decisions being made, because that is always what they've cared about. It's not really that surprising. What's surprising is seeing the large number of people that don't seem to care when it's actually threatening them directly.
And even when it does affect their circles, they are so crass and self-interested and don't really care. It's an anomaly.
How is it self-interest when it's going to kill you?
It turns into thoughts of pride. Well, they don't really care about one another in the same way. Their sense of community is based on status and power. I mean, I think there's a warped sense of, especially in leadership and some of the decisions being made as in the administration. I think if it hits home, it would have to be themselves actually going away from this. I think their family members would just step in and continue the ruse.
And you know, the other thing that really annoys me are people that want to minimize this and say, "Oh, it's just like the flu." It's not just like the flu. Again, we have to keep hammering this into people's
heads.
It's
more contagious.
It's a lot more contagious. It's a lot more deadly. And if you don't do something about it, then you're seeing tens of millions of people dead.
And there's no treatment.
Exactly. This happened in 1918. Look it up. Go look up old newspapers and see the many mistakes that were made that led to a massive death toll. Yeah, people die of the flu. People die of all sorts of things. But this is different. This is very, very different and can get a whole lot worse. You wouldn't minimize the people who died at 9/11 and say, oh, you know what, 20 times more people than that die every year from the flu, so it doesn't really matter. This doesn't have to happen. This can be stopped. This can be controlled. We don't have a cure. We don't have a vaccine, but we are working on it. And the last thing we need are people just flagrantly flouting the advice from the scientific community for no reason other than they're impatient. I know. People are hurting. We're hurting. How much you hurt, that is what the government is for, to determine how much help you're going to get. And we're going to get into that in a second, too, how that's not working. But here's the thing. In Georgia, they are going to be opening up these essential places such as bowling alleys, gyms, hair salons, tattoo parlors by Friday. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm reading a parody here. Movie theaters may open next week.
Who's going to want to go to any of these places?
Idiots will.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of sick idiots.
Plenty of idiots out there. It's not doing much for your image, Georgia. It really is not.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll start shooting films again, right? They got a lot of production down there.
Athens, Clark County, Georgia Mayor Kelly Gertz said today that high-contact environments are exactly the kind of places that we need to have to maintain closure for the moment. I'm exhorting everybody in this community to continue the shelter in place. Do not reopen at this point. It's not the time to do it. It's like telling the quarterback, we don't have a helmet for you, we don't have the pads, but get out there on the field and just try not to get sacked. That's pretty much it. Georgia residents remain under a statewide stay-at-home order that Kemp imposed earlier this month when he learned that you could be asymptomatic and transmit the disease. Welcome to the club. We were aware of that for 2 months.
Take an interest, idiot.
Federal social distancing guidance will also expire on that date, although Donald Trump said, actually rolled out a series of recommendations for a phased reopening of parts of the country. those new guidelines call for states considering reopening to show a downward trajectory of coronavirus cases over a two-week period, as well as institute a robust testing program for healthcare workers. Then, under Phase 1 of the plan, restaurants, movie theaters, sporting venues, places of worship, and gyms may reopen if they practice social distancing measures. But they're not even following those guidelines. That is the crazy thing about this. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster also relaxed some coronavirus-related restrictions in that state on Monday, allowing businesses, including bookstores, department stores, flea markets, florists, and music shops to reopen. Like Kemp, McMaster faced resistance from the leader of his state's capital city, Columbia, South Carolina Mayor Stephen Benjamin. Anyone with a brain, I think, is opposed to this kind of thing. Look, I would love to see bookstores open again. I really would, because that's where we sell our magazine. But not if it's going to cost people their lives or get people sick. No, not until we have a handle on this thing.
It's got to be a priority right this instant, and it is really terrible. It's painful, and I'm totally sympathetic. I'm not excited about months more of this, but it's not worth it. It is not worth it, because it will just protract what is hard for everyone right now, and that's the last thing we want if we're really interested in creating our economy over again, or whatever sort of normalcy you're craving at this time. But it is worth continuing so that we actually see the trajectory and the numbers go down. And the polling that's being used really shows this. Most Americans, I think, it's been run all weekend.
Oh, over 60%. I know, yeah, we're paying undue attention to these
idiots.
All
we're doing is...
But they will have an undue effect on our health. That's why we have to pay attention to them.
They're just loud and visible and belligerent. They're not in front of Trump hotels protesting. They should be. You know, they're not in front of the White House protesting for better leadership. Not quackery.
Yeah, Trump, why don't you wade into that crowd and shake a lot of hands?
Yeah,
go ahead.
You should go give him some hugs and kisses.
Okay. Now, you may have recalled in Louisiana there was this defiant church that insisted on having massive congregations and Sunday services and things like that. Well, guess what? A 78-year-old man who attended one of those has died from the illness. From the coronavirus illness, East Baton Rouge Parish coroner said Harold Aurelian died from the COVID-19 respiratory illness last Wednesday. Three sources say that Aurelian had ties to the Life Tabernacle Church. They spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to publicly discuss a link between the man and the church. Okay, the Reverend Tony Spell, the church's pastor, did not return messages left on Thursday about Aurelian after the coroner released his death information following a public records request from a publication called The Advocate. Don't you love the media? This is what they're supposed to be doing. Spell later in the day confirmed to television stations WAFB and WVLA that Aurelian was a parishioner in good standing. He also disputed that Aurelian's death was due to the virus, despite the coroner's determination. That is a lie, he said. Yeah, he knows better than the coroner. I mean, there is nothing that these people will not simply deny. The coroner says he died from coronavirus. No, he didn't, because it doesn't suit my agenda. News of the death comes hours after a lawyer representing Spell and the church in an expected legal fight over the state's social distancing restrictions on churches confirmed that he had been hospitalized and was on oxygen after contracting the virus. The lawyer, yeah, Jeff Wittenbrink. He attended two events at Life Tabernacle Church on an April 2nd news conference and an April 5th church service, and he's been at Baton Rouge General ever since. It's not funny. It's not funny, but for God's sake, what did you think was going to happen? Somebody is going to get exposed to this if you act this way. Now he's got a high fever and a persistent cough. This actually was a few days ago, so I hope he's doing better. It's not clear where Wittenbrink or Aurelian actually contracted the virus. Wittenbrink said he doesn't know, but that he hadn't been careful enough during his outings in the public in recent weeks. Now, Spell's fight against the order, along with a handful of other religious leaders nationally against similar restrictions, has attracted worldwide attention. Stupidity tends to do that. He's been charged with 6 misdemeanor counts of violating Edwards' orders. Spell, who has faced criticism over his stand, has made several provocative comments about the virus and the resulting controversy, including saying that true Christians do not mind dying from the virus, but from fear, living in fear, or they fear living in fear, cowardice of their convictions. Okay, you're a moron, you're an idiot, you should be kicked out of your own church, and people really deserve better. But for God's sake, don't be led around by idiots like this.
Yeah, and, you know, they live in fear of the other all the time. Fear is like their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't play this. I just...
You know, this would have been such a uniting issue. It really...
You want to come for this? We'll have it. We'll do this.
It's just so annoying. Okay, so enough of that. I just wanted to touch upon that because it is massively important. And I hope here in New York we maintain the common sense that we have exhibited throughout this crisis. I know it's hard. I know it's going to continue to be difficult for a while longer, but we will be in such better shape as a result of that.
As we said, most people are not comfortable changing what we've worked so hard to create as a species. So that includes everything in the recent past, but everything before that. And we all deserve a chance to get past this.
Here's something positive. In England, only 9% of residents there, 9% want life to return to normal once this is all over. Think about that. People have noticed significant changes during the lockdown, including cleaner air, more wildlife, stronger communities. More than half of a 4,343 person poll said they will make some changes in their own lives and for the country as a whole to learn from the crisis. This is smart. This is how you deal with a situation like this.
I like this. I'm with that.
42% of our participants said they value food and other essentials more since the pandemic, with 38% cooking from scratch more.
I'm cooking more from scratch.
Yeah.
And honestly, people are, in the past, I think, on the one hand, of fond memories of socializing and being around lots of people and experiencing the sights and the scenes and smells, dare I say. But people are kind of gross. I mean, just a little bit gross. When you really think about how much how cavalier we were about travel and just mixing it around with people. And I'm okay with people
washing. In all fairness, everything is gross.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, nature is gross. You know,
yeah,
wildlife and even plants.
Right, but with people washing their hands more or paying more attention to their hygiene in general, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that,
too.
I don't want to walk around with a mask on my face for the rest of my life, though. I don't want that.
No, you shouldn't have to.
Yeah, I don't think this doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, we have to take it seriously.
Yeah, making less trips by car, I think that's good.
That's great.
Less air travel, I think that's good, too.
Yeah, that's great, too. You can see the sky. You can listen and hear nothing or just nature. That's pretty awesome. I hope people realize the value of this. Let me continue with this survey. Also, but by the way, we are introducing a new feature called What Should Kyle Cook Next? We don't have a theme music for it yet, and we don't have any material yet because we are asking people to email us and suggest what should come, because Kyle really has been doing a lot lately. You've made lasagna.
Yeah.
You've made navy bean soup.
With kale.
Yeah, you made matzo ball soup.
Yeah, I made a lot of matzo ball soup.
But there are other things. You really, you know, I want you to make some spicy things.
I made chili.
That was
my spicy.
Could have been spicier. That's not a critique. It's just
feedback.
I'm just saying.
Nah.
I think since we have spicy food all the time, I think let's go for it. Let's make
my headphones are a little loud. I'm getting feedback.
Do some vindaloo, you know, something like that.
Oh, I have to do curries now.
Why not?
All right. Well, look, we're making a shopping list. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We'll get some ingredients if I find a recipe that's suitable. But I enjoy to do that. I think that's another good takeaway. Rethinking the normal activities. It's a lot of work, I think, but I think it's healthier, really. Cooking from scratch is healthy, and you have more control. You
right.
spend less money. These are all things any working family knows. But it is hard when there are so many demands, so many activities, so many things tied up in keeping the family going
right.
that we cut corners. But I think this has created a lot of time for people to appreciate ways that we can reintegrate some of the stuff we've been missing out on.
And this is something you can participate in, whether you're in a family or not. You can experiment all different ways and just get better at these things. I've really been impressed.
Much respect to chefs everywhere and people that are in charge of all the meals.
Can you imagine all the out-of-work chefs? They must be cooking up a storm in their own homes.
Yeah, maybe falling in love again with their occupation instead of just having it be something they do for work. Maybe a little time and space and less proximity is making them sort of yearn for cooking again, and maybe that's manifesting itself in people cooking for themselves who are skilled cooks. I've become better at creating these meals. That's why if people do send recipe ideas for this feature I just found out about now, I'll take it to heart because I want to build my skills up. I think we've got time for that, and I don't know. That's just one thing. So great idea.
Write to us, otw@2620.com, with your ideas for what Kyle should make next. And I would definitely benefit from this. I can be a I'll report back on how it turns out.
A food critic?
Yeah. Anyway, that poll shows the British people are increasingly aware the health of people and planet are inseparable, and it's time for radical environmental, social, political, and economic change. Okay, I could see an idiot hearing that, and I'm sorry, but you are an idiot if you're outside demonstrating against science. I could see one of those people saying, oh, yeah, look, see, this is the proof right here that they want this change. They want to change things. First of all, these are only good changes. You know, cleaner air, more natural ingredients, things like that. How is that a threat? But it's also a reaction to a situation. It's not, the situation wasn't caused so that we could achieve this. We didn't all gather around, you know, in a tent one day and say, hey, this is a good idea. Why don't we have a global pandemic, get everybody to stay inside for a couple of months, and then we can, you know, kick the system on its ass and you know, have our way. And no, that's not what happened. Didn't happen.
And who's really benefiting? A lot of the conspiracies around testing and tracking and all of that stuff, the stuff we need to be doing for, you know, health surveillance and so on, which is going to go on in earnest, whether people like it or not. That is the job of the National Institutes of Health and the CDC. But who does it benefit? The deep state that would be benefiting from all of that tracking. How do they benefit right now from instituting that? And going up against their citizenry, who really desperately need to be healthy, I think it's got an end goal in sight. And I think just looking at private interests trying to co-opt people and somehow leverage this, it's an emergency. It is something we need a response to, and we have to get information. Yeah, we have to consider privacy and all of those other things, but it is not the end goal of the Institutes of Health to violate people's rights. They want people to have the liberty we're promised and the freedom that we're promised in the future, and part of that is bringing as many people along with us to the future so that we have a functioning economy and less need, but it's going to take this sacrifice now. So I could go on and on.
So one other thing that you've probably heard something about is a Small Business Association program that was supposed to bail out a lot of small businesses. $350 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program. It's a loan that turns into a grant, but it ran out of money last week. In fact, we would qualify for this to save the magazine, but the money's not there. And the reason the money's not there is because large companies used this program to tap into the first wave of loans, and they had a tremendous advantage. Big Wall Street-backed restaurant chains that pay their executives supersized bonuses, they are the ones who were first in line. Derek Martin, spokesperson for the watchdog group Accountable U.S., says, what a slap in the face to the untold thousands of legitimate small businesses that will not survive this crisis, mainly because they couldn't get the help they were promised from the president soon enough, if at all. You know what the rules were? And you know, if you're asking, why is Nancy Pelosi holding this up? It's because of things like this, because of this kind of crap, that you could have a business that had 500 employees at one location and somehow be considered a small business.
Yeah.
How is that a small business? For God's sake, a small business is something like under 10,
under 3,
five.
Under 5. Yeah, exactly.
They should be the first in line.
I think
but instead they can't even get the damn web page to load.
Yeah, I think under 50 was another measurement, and I just think it's so wrong because the really, really small businesses, the entrepreneurship that we're known for, the innovation, that comes from businesses that are people doing a proprietorship or an LLC because they had an idea that you know, on a napkin or something. I mean, the real small businesses that emerge and become larger businesses need that support. And I'm thinking of all kinds of things. Even, I don't know, I had some ideas for this. I think with the cannabis policies, they should just turn every bodega in the city into a dispensary and create the infrastructure now.
That may already be happening.
I hope it is happening, because I don't know. They should get some of those programs going to build revenue and help people. But I don't know what it's going to take. You need to supplement the smallest of small businesses, too. And you can't throw in companies that have 500 people and call them small.
No, that is wrong. Have a different program for them.
Or a category for multinational.
But for God's sake, let small businesses survive. Give them a chance. And I know they're going to be opening up a second round of this, but the same thing's going to happen all over again unless you change the rules and make it easier. There's no reason anybody should have to go out of business because of this, lose their homes because of this, certainly not lose their lives because of this, if we act smart. And we're not doing that, and our leaders are certainly not doing that. That has to change. There's something else, too. Mortgages. People are inquiring about this. It's something called mortgage forbearance. That's where you basically delay payments because you don't have a job, because you don't have income. And what people are finding out is that, yeah, the mortgage lenders are saying, okay, yeah, you can do that. But guess what? In 3 months, we're going to expect all the payments at once. It's not like they're giving you anything. They're just basically saying, okay, you don't pay this month, you don't pay next month, but in 3 months, you got to pay all those months together.
Yeah,
how does that help anybody? It's not like you're going to get a big bonus in that period of time.
And I'm curious, when you have to pay then, what is the interest on if you can't? On the
interest,
other words,
that's your home. That's the interest.
Right. What
happens? Take your damn house.
At that point, when you can't pay the 3 months or 3 payments in a row or whatever, you're coming down to it with this huge bill. There's interest, or yeah, your house.
The same thing with landlords. And we're making this point with our landlord, too. We can't pay you. We don't have income coming in. Our magazines are sitting on loading docks. They're probably destined for the trash bin. At great expense to us, we can't just pretend that for the landlord everything is fine. No, they're telling us, yeah, we have bills to pay. Well, we have employees to pay. Hey, guess what? So do we. All right, either we're in this together or we're against each other. You pick it. You pick how this is going to be fought. But for now, we all have to sacrifice. All of us have to sacrifice, not just the people at the bottom. All of us. And, you know, Trump seems to get this. You know why? You know how I know this? Because Trump International Hotel has been asking for relief. Yeah, the Trump Organization, they own and operate the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C., but it's in a federally owned building on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Old post office.
And they have to pay. But, according to Eric Trump, they have started a conversation about possible changes to the terms of the lease, which could include adjustments to future monthly payments. So even Trump is doing this. And we're not supposed to. We're supposed to keep paying 100% of our rent. In Florida, the Trump Organization last month sought guidance from Palm Beach County about whether it had to continue making monthly payments on land that they lease for their 27-hole Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. This month, the Trump Organization was about a week late on its monthly lease payment of about $88,000. That's according to county documents. Company executives are still seeking guidance from Palm Beach County about whether they are expected to keep making lease payments with the golf industry shut down. You see, they're exploring all their options. Now, some of Palm Beach County's commissioners worry that if they don't give the president's company extra time to make lease payments, the county could anger the president and lose out on federal assistance to fight the coronavirus. This is the crap that we are dealing with right now. You can't anger the president or you'll pay the price. This is what's happening in basically all parts of the country. You know, I was actually saying good things about our representative, Lee Zeldin, because he succeeded in getting all kinds of PPE equipment sent to this part of the country. But the only reason that happened is because he's good friends with President Trump. If he wasn't, we wouldn't be getting that. That is wrong. That is corruption. And we need to recognize that.
It's quid pro quo.
It's definitely that.
They are so... It's miserly... I can say that word, right? It's miserly, right?
Why wouldn't you be able to say that
is
word?
Is that like you're penny-pinching? You're miserly, right? You're tight with the cash?
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, that's a legitimate word.
They're miserly and just out for themselves. I would... That's what comes to mind. It's just so out for themselves. Can't possibly be out for other people unless they're on some steps of some building, protesting, getting everybody sick, waving guns.
I'm sorry for the jaunty music that's underneath your serious statement there.
Yeah, let's do something
else. Because we're required to do this, and we're running out of time.
I'm almost out of breath.
I'm almost out of breath.
Oh, no, it's not symptomatic. It's just been,
already took your temperature.
Stressing so much, yeah.
This is our feature films of the year that was, where we basically go over an Academy Award-winning film year by year, both domestic and international. The two have never won the same title except for this year. That's the first time it ever happened, so we didn't know that. But we are at 1972 right now. We've moved it to 1972.
Film that was 1972.
Yeah, and we are going to review the international film from 1970. In 1972, I remember this. I was a kid then.
Yeah.
And last week we talked about The French Connection. I'm still, I was watching the commentary tracks and just watching again the streets of New York, seeing the old buses, seeing how taxis used to look, seeing how some streets look the same now. And it's just, I'm so happy that film exists, that people capture this, because it's so fleeting. It goes away. It doesn't come back. And every film has that opportunity to capture that. So, what do we have for the foreign film from 1972?
This one is a French-language film originating, I think, French and France and Spain. So, yeah, it's called Le Charme Discret de la Bourgeoisie.
They had an English title.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie.
Unless you want to give the whole review in French, go ahead.
The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie is the name of it, 1972. Yes, the elites. Le Charme Discreet de la Bourgeoisie.
Okay, so I think we've established it's a French film.
Yes, it's French. Did I get to that? It's a Fox film. What do you want me to say? Okay, so it's about upper middle class people attempting, despite interruptions, to dine together. That's the gist of it. And really, the overview, the takeaway, the big part of the overview that I can relate with is the last sentence of the description here from Wikipedia is, as we try to make sense of the story. He's playing tricks on his audience, Bunel, the director of this, and I think that is a strong theme throughout it. We just are trying to make sense of it the whole time. But there's basically four different groups of people. They're trying to dine, and they're just really bizarre and get constantly interrupted by something. And there are these dream sequences that are layering in. And,
starts off funny, because basically it starts off with four people arriving at someone's house, but the person they're supposed to meet there isn't there, and his wife has no idea that they were supposed to go that night. She's expecting them the next night. So then they all say, okay, let's go out and get food at an inn down the road. They convince her to go with them, so now there's five of them, and they go to this inn, and they sit down for food there, and then they discover that while they're inside this inn, the reason why the door was locked, and they had to sort of ask if they could be let in, the reason all that's happening is because the owner of the inn had just died, and they're having a wake for him in the next room, and that kind of puts them off having food there, so they leave and go somewhere else, and it kind of goes along those lines, where they keep trying to get together and have a meal, and something always thwarts
them. And it just was not destined to happen. And that layering is sort of parallel to these other sort of dream sequences of each of the various characters, and so on and so forth. So it is sort of really bizarre in a lot of ways.
It was fun. It was a little confusing and a little full of itself, I thought, but it was all right.
Yeah. There's a scene where there's a woman selling toys and a guy shoots from the embassy, which is the embassy Miranda. He shoots the toys to chase away a woman that he's convinced is part of a terrorist group.
Yeah, from some fictitious South American country.
Right.
You get these windows into what was in people's minds in those days, and it's a fun little jaunt.
Yeah, constant suspicion and Yeah, it was hard to make sense of.
But we had subtitles. But okay, so that was our film for 1972, the foreign film, and we'll bring you, I guess, the domestic film when that comes up next week, hopefully.
Yeah.
Just turn that off. You know, we can record this. We don't have to actually turn the thing off and turn it on every week. It gets really hot. And yeah. Anyway, so we're pretty much out of time. Any final thoughts or things we need to complain about? That I'm actually, you know, I'm kind of used to doing this. It's hard. I miss a lot of things, but every time I hear about the numbers going down, I feel like, you know, we're really accomplishing something together. And I think about how good it's going to feel when this is over, and knowing that we accomplished something. But all of that could be thwarted by these idiots that think they know better than scientists, that think somehow it's a plot, a political ploy, and we need to shout those people down.
Just save it for something else. Something else.
Yeah,
not this.
Seriously.
Any other time.
Do a campaign. You know, vote for people. Do that. Fine. But let's not play with our health. That is super important. And
it's just such a high cost. A high cost for other people other than you.
Right. You don't have the right to do that. You really don't. I know people are impatient. I know there's a, you know, we need to get back to work, but not at the expense of our lives.
Again, why would a government do this to itself? Bankrupt. Just completely, your leadership, no less.
Ask yourself this.
Go along with this.
If you were getting paid right now for sitting at home, would you be angry? I mean, yeah, you'd be impatient, you want to do more things, but you wouldn't be worried about your next meal or you know, paying expenses or anything like that. Focus on that, because that's what other countries are doing. They're compensating their citizens because of this, because it's not their fault, and that's what governments are for. That's what people should be angry about. That's what people should be protesting virtually about right now. Not trying to end something that we have no control over. It's like, you know, an asteroid coming towards Earth, and people get out on the street and protest against the asteroid because the Democrats made it happen. No, that's not how it works, folks. That's not how it works. We're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. But I want to thank people for listening and for continuing to write to us. Please, let's just remember, let's stay together, stay strong. We're going to get through this. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye.
Hey, do this thug sound, man. Thug sound. When this whole beat drop, we just gonna run it to him, man. It's all good. I never had much. Run with the bad butts. Little skinny kids sneaking weed in my bag lunch. And off the junior high, we was just getting by. And drive-by, while my homie got a young line. I never did try. And even though I had pain in my heart, I was hopeless from the start. They couldn't tell me nothing, and they all tried to help me. The marijuana had my mind gone, the ones to help me. I dropped a paper toll, take for the field, yeah. I felt the pain and the rain, but I'm still here. Never did like the police. Let the whole world know. Now I get no peace. Let the take me down. And facing me now, what do I do? These things that a thug goes through. And still I rise, so keep your head up and make your mind strong. It's a struggle every day, but you gotta hold on. Hold on. Be strong. Hold on. Be strong. Hold on. When it's on, it's on. Hold on. Be strong. Hold on. Be strong. Hold on. Be strong. When it's on, it's on. Hold on. Be strong. Hold on. Be strong. Hold on. Be strong. When it's on, it's on. Hold on. Be strong. Hold on. Be strong. Hold on. Be strong. When it's on, it's on. Yeah, never a good day, cause in my hood they let the AKs walk straight with the kids play. And every Halloween, check out the murder scene. Can't help but duplicate the violence seen on the screen. My homies dying before they get to see their birthday. This is the worst day, sometimes it hurts to pray. And even God turned his back on the ghetto youth. I know that ain't the truth, sometimes I look for proof. I wonder if heaven got a ghetto. And if it does it matter if you blood or you cuss. Remember how it was, the picnics and the parties in the projects. Small time drinking, getting high with the mommy. Just another knucklehead kid from the gutter. I'm dealing with the madness, the grave by a single mother. I'm trying to tell you when it's soon. You gotta keep your head to the sky and be strong most of all. Hold on, hold on. Be strong, hold on. Be strong, hold on. When it's on, it's on. Hold on, be strong, hold on. Be strong, hold on. Be strong, when it's on, it's on. Hold on, be strong, hold on. Be strong, hold on. Be strong, when it's on, it's on. Hold on, be strong, hold on. Be strong, hold on. Be strong, when it's on, it's on. Hold on, hold on.
be strong. I know there may tears coming down your face. But hold on. Wipe your eyes. In this world, when it's on, it's on. Only hold strong on. Survives. Be strong. Be strong. I know it's hard out there.
But hold on.
Welfare.
Be strong.
AIDS. Earthquake, muggins, carjackers.
Yeah, we got problems.
Cause when it's on, but hold
believe
on.
Believe me when I tell you,
strong,
things
strong.
Always get better.
Cause when it's on, but hold
God
on.
Don't like ugly,
be strong,
and God don't like no quitters.
Cause when it's on, but hold on.
You know what Billie Holiday said, baby.
Yeah.
God bless the challenge,
but hold on.
You know,
strong.
You got to stand.